Nathan is a composite. The blockages, the conversations, the doors that closed are real, and they are closing across West Midlands now. This is their story. In education, where mathematics teachers are desperately needed across one of the worst-off constituencies in England, training programmes sit unfunded while classrooms overflow and graduates who want to teach cannot access the courses that would qualify them. Nathan's experience shows how Treasury spending rules turn teacher shortages into a permanent crisis.
I grew up in Bentleigh, raised by my nan after my parents lost themselves to addiction. The estate had a reputation, but my maths teacher at secondary school saw something in me. She'd stay after class, work through problems until the concepts clicked. When I got into Keele University to study mathematics, she was the first person I called. That teacher changed my trajectory. I graduated with first class honours in 2023, but I knew where I wanted to go back to. Every kid in Bentleigh deserved a teacher who understood their world, who knew what it felt like to sit in that classroom wondering if education was even for people like us. I'd always loved explaining concepts to classmates who were struggling. Teaching felt like the most natural thing in the world. In September 2023, I applied for secondary mathematics teacher training through Staffordshire University's PGCE programme. The admissions team were enthusiastic about my academic record and local knowledge. Then came the conversation that changed everything. "Your application is excellent," the admissions tutor told me during the interview. "But I need to be honest about the financial situation. The training bursary for mathematics has been cut from £27,000 to £10,000 for the West Midlands region this year. We simply don't have the funding to support more trainees." I accepted it. It sounded reasonable. Everyone was tightening their belts. I could manage on £10,000 for a year if it meant getting qualified. But then she continued, "The issue is, we've had to reduce our intake by 2/3. We can only take 12 mathematics trainees instead of the 40 places we had last year. 40 people who wanted to teach mathematics cut to 12. I didn't make the cut. I tried the school direct route through three local secondary schools. Birch's Head Academy, where I'd done some volunteering. St Margaret Ward Catholic Academy and Ormiston Sir Stanley Matthews Academy. Each conversation was identical. "We'd love to have you," the head of mathematics at Birch's Head told me. "Your background is exactly what we need, but the Department for Education hasn't allocated enough training places for this region. There is no funding for additional trainees." The head at St Margaret Ward said the same thing. "The budget has been cut. We cannot afford to run that programme at the level we used to." By November, I was working as a teaching assistant at Birch's Head Academy, earning minimum wage while watching what the funding cuts actually meant on the ground. Classes of 35 Year 9 students, one exhausted teacher trying to teach simultaneous equations to kids who were already lost with basic algebra. I knew I could help. I'd been that confused kid once. But I was stuck on the wrong side of the qualification barrier. Then I saw the contradiction. In March 2024, I was helping a colleague research teacher training options for her cousin who lived near Guildford. We found that universities in Surrey and Hampshire still offered full £27,000 bursaries and had hundreds of unfilled training places. Surrey alone had 200 vacant spots on mathematics PGCE courses. Hampshire had 150. Both regions were actively recruiting, advertising the full bursary amount that had been impossible to fund in the West Midlands. I stared at the screen. The same qualification, the same subject, the same desperate national shortage of mathematics teachers. In Surrey, they couldn't fill the places. In Stoke-on-Trent, we couldn't access them. The excuse started to sound different. If the money existed to train teachers in Surrey, what exactly was it that there was no money for in Staffordshire? The government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect people like me to the classrooms that needed us. That wasn't an accounting problem. That was a political decision dressed as an accounting problem. I started asking different questions. My old school in Bentleigh had two qualified maths teachers for 8 classes. Staffordshire University had lecture halls sitting empty during the day, ready built for teacher training. The education faculty had professors who could teach in pedagogy, mentors who could supervise placements. I knew 40 graduates from the West Midlands who wanted to become mathematics teachers but couldn't get on the courses. The people existed, the buildings existed, the desperate need existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I'm still here, still watching the contradictions multiply, still seeing kids in overcrowded classrooms who deserve better, still knowing that the solution isn't some impossible miracle of finding money that doesn't exist. It's recognizing that the money does exist, that the government creates it every day, and that choosing not to deploy it where teachers are needed most is exactly that, a choice. This isn't just my story, it's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard isn't bare, it's locked, and they're holding the key.
What Nathan experienced has a name, logical fallacy. A false analogy is when someone compares two things that seem similar, but work in fundamentally different ways. Like comparing a goldfish bowl to the ocean because both contain water, the analogy breaks down when you examine how each system actually functions. Every time someone told Nathan there is no money for teacher training, they were applying a household logic to a currency issuer. A household must earn pounds before it can spend them. The UK government issues pounds. It creates them when it spends and removes them when it taxes. When HM Treasury sets departmental spending limits, it's not rationing a scarce resource like a household managing its weekly budget. It's making political choices about where to deploy the nation's real resources. People, skills, materials, time. The proof is in Nathan's story. Surrey had unfilled training places because the Treasury allocated money there. Staffordshire had unfilled classrooms because the Treasury didn't. The austerity objection claims we have to live within our means as a country. But a currency issuing government's means are not fixed like a household income. England currently has 40,000 teacher vacancies. The real constraint is recruitment and retention, not sterling. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Stoke-on-Trent North ranks 76 out of 543 English constituencies for deprivation, placing it in deprivation decile 2, English Indices of Deprivation, 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 2,385 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £13.9 million, 360 giving grant nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.